Okay, we're here live tonight, and it is the 23rd of October, 1996. The time is
7 o'clock.
8 o'clock. And 2 minutes.
Yeah, you're looking at your clock wrong.
Yeah, but next week, this will be 7 o'clock.
On Tuesday?
Well, what I'm saying is that in actual fact, it will be 8 o'clock, but it would have been
okay,
7 o'clock.
We're going through the time change.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it next week?
It's this weekend.
But it was the last weekend.
That is the last weekend of October.
This is... up to the last weekend of October. Where you been, Skip?
This year has flew by so fast.
Don't tell me you still thought it was September.
I'm still in August.
Matt, there you have it. That's new. That looks nice.
Oh, yeah, you like that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get down to serious matters. As we only have a limited number of people here. Kara's here. No Kiri and a mole and myself. So it's just the three of us, which is quite unusual.
Yeah.
So we'll start with open questions. We'll call this tape Open Mic Night.
Okay.
Okay. Open Mic Night.
I've got a question for you, darling.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you can answer me, maybe you can't. I've got several avenues of opportunities that I can pursue.
Uh-huh.
And I'm kind of in a dilemma which one to pursue.
Okay. Well, let's hear them and I'll tell you.
Okay. The young man that used to be, well, he still is. A close associate of mine has offered for me to go to school with him and get my certifications to become a building inspector. It's a very generous offer
because
he said he could get my certs for me in very short order, which means that I can go ahead and do this thing and get out of the heavy labor that I've been doing all my life.
Yeah.
Mm.
Another associate of mine pursuing a venture in purchasing and selling and renting property. That's the second avenue of endeavor. The third one is stay on the job that I'm on and find out if they're going to hire me or not.
Yeah, by that look, it's the look of your last answer, your last question. You look very concerned and frustrated about that.
Mm-hmm.
The other two possibilities, I really can't give you an answer saying you should do this, you should
that. I just wanted to more or less get your personal opinion.
I was going to come to that. I was just doing the preamble.
Okay.
Okay. Now, have you thought about doing both possible avenues?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Mm-hmm. So that the way I see it is that you have two opportunities here. Now, what you have to do is weigh both of them. Right, and the possibility of doing one or the other, or possibly both. And by pursuing those avenues, you have to sit down and work out how they're going to benefit you and all those parties involved. What is their potential outcome, the possibilities of each outcome, and then the possible outcomes of those outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're not thinking, let's say it takes a week to get your property. You're not thinking of 1 week. You're thinking of 3 or 4 weeks ahead. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen after you've dealt with that? how is it going to affect them? Are they going to come back to you if something goes wrong? Or are they going to come back to you if something goes good? Mm-hmm. You have to look at all those avenues. So you have to weigh the odds. And, you know, what would be the best overall, not only for you, but for those parties concerned. Mm-hmm. By doing that, you should be able to come to an answer that would suit you and them better. And also to add into the mixture is, where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to be in 10 years? You see where I'm going with that? And so it's not planning just for, you know, a couple of months down the road, or 6 months, or a year down the road. You're doing a big picture, a little bit like a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan. Where do you want to be in 10 years? Where do you want to be going with the rest of your life?
Thank you.
No problem. John Paul?
Yes. I wanted to ask you about the internal dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And controlling that.
There's a simple technique that you can use to control it. Is that, the way that I teach astral travel, and I believe Mark teaches it the same way, is shutting down the internal dialogue is one of the most important things to do before you learn how to astral travel properly. And what you do is you basically tell your internal dialogue to shut up. So, like, you hear it.
So the best. I just tell it to shut up.
And then you listen. Listen with all your body. Focus on one noise. For example, your clock up there. Okay. You can hear it ticking, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, for a second, right, skipping myself to be quiet. Okay. Now, relax and just listen to the clock. Okay. Now, in that approximate 10 seconds, right, there was no internal dialogue, was there?
No, there was.
Mm-hmm. So what you do is you focus on one noise. A handy thing to have that ticks at a faster or slower rate would be something like a metronome. Metronome. Glad somebody here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're talking about device that plays music. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Let's say you have a tick, tock, tick, tock, or a tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, or even faster, tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock.
Yeah, just okay. Now let me re-ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cutting off your internal dialogue
during
meditation, and when you're trying to go to sleep, is one thing, okay. But like with me, you know, when I'm at work, okay, I'm not in a meditative state of mind.
Yeah,
I've got to be totally focused.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll get some goofy rock and roll song.
Yeah.
In my mind.
Okay, now, the reason why that does that is because of the thinking process. Your mind is constantly thinking. When you shut down the internal dialogue, right, the thinking level has gone much, much deeper down that you can no longer hear the thinking level. For example, let's say we're doing barbecued dog.
Okay.
Right. And
very
there's
nice.
all these people all around me, right? And they're talking and they're having a fun time. And I'm concerned with the spit speed, the stuffing that I have in there, all the good stuff, right?
Yes.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, now, if I slow down the rotation rate now, it's going to crisp the skin nicely. Right, this is going on in my head. I'm not saying anything to anybody. I'm just concentrating on cooking this dog.
Yeah, right? I understand.
So the thinking process is very important. You don't want to shut that down. Because if you shut it down to a subconscious level, right, where it's very deep, right, you're not actually concentrating on what you're doing or analyzing the moment, you see. That's what the inner voice does. The inner dialogue is the debate between right and wrong. Is this the right recipe? Is that the right recipe? Should I go over there and clip the cub's ears because they're misbehaving? No, they're fine. They're staying away. They're stopped misbehaving. That's all the internal dialogue, you see. When you talk out loud, basically what you've done is taken the internal dialogue and put it external for added input. Sometimes you'll be walking around and you'll ask yourself out loud, now, should I go to the dance tonight or should I go and have an early night? Or the other question that you might ask yourself is, you've just done something really stupid and you go, that's really stupid. I will never do that again. And you'll say that out loud, which is reinforcing the thought process and affirming that you will not make that mistake again.
Okay. Now, if I, like the other night, mm-hmm. I was cleaning my tools mm-hmm. and ran my knife, my hand across my French knife,
mm-hmm.
which is very foolish.
Yeah.
And I didn't cut myself
mm-hmm.
because my fingers were, you know, firm.
Yeah.
Okay. It should have cut me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't cut myself. And it was very foolish.
Yeah.
Stupid thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, the internal dialogue is essential.
Yes, it is.
Okay. I'm just wondering about shutting it off.
Mm-hmm.
Can I shut it off?
Yes.
Can I do that completely?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can.
Can I just shut it down?
Basically, what you do is say to yourself in your subconscious, quiet. And as soon as your mind starts to go, okay, it's quiet in here, you've already...
That's the internal dialogue.
That's right. But you then, again, go quiet, and you focus on the ticking of the clock. But you don't want to do this all the time. You want to do it when you want to meditate or sleep, right? Is that's when you shut down the internal dialogue.
Correct.
But it still continues, but on a... deeper level that you can no longer hear in your mind. You see, the thing to do is when you're having the internal dialogue, it's great if you're at work processing information. For example, today I was processing some information and I go, really? And of course, I had a room full of people and I didn't go that out loud. I went, really?
Right.
In
you
my
were
mind.
Really in your mind.
Yes. And it's a way of affirming the information. You see, and storing it. Okay, Skip?
Yes.
Your question.
I've got a problem with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've been spinning my wheels all my life. It feels like it.
It could be the fact that you've got to a point where you feel that you should be at a totally different point.
Yeah, you should be independently wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good start on that many years ago.
Yeah.
Kind of went by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to do it again.
Okay. How did you do it last time?
Property.
Mm-hmm. But that's the way... Yeah, you should try again. You know that. that has worked in the past. Oh, I see where you're going with that. You're analyzing your earlier questions.
Yeah, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
More or less.
And looking at all the avenues. Mm-hmm. And if you go with the property, right, yeah. Let's assume that you decide to go with the property thing. Being a instructor of some kind so that you can go there and look at the properties, right? Let's say you buy a plot of 20 acres, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you tell the guy, oh, by the way, I'm also a property instructor.
Mm-hmm.
You just hand them that and sort of like, yeah, when you're ready to have your properties, the foundations inspected, give me a call.
Mm-hmm.
So you combine both of them.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But that's only a possibility.
No.
Possible avenue. But as for spinning your wheels...
I feel like I am.
I don't think so. I think you've had some wonderful life experiences.
Oh, I have. But mm-hmm. I guess my biggest problem is my mates.
Okay? Yeah.
I think that's been my biggest problem.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't seem to... hit on the partner that stays with me.
Mm-hmm. Well, in your society at its present development, you name me one person that's in your age group that has not had a divorce.
Well, no, true enough. Mm-hmm. Still, that's them, that's not me.
Okay, let's say somebody that has gone from rags to riches. I think that's the correct expression.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take Donald Trump, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, how many times has he been married?
I have no idea.
I think at least 3 times.
Yeah, but I got him snowed.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the fact that, not, money doesn't make you happy. It gives you a cushion, right?
It makes you comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, makes you comfortable, but it's not fulfilling.
No, and that's not what I'll make money. I ain't worried about that. I've always made money all my life.
Mm-hmm. What sort of press do you use?
Huh?
What sort of press do you use?
What sort of what do I use?
Press.
Press to make money.
Oh, no, not that kind. I'm sorry, I completely missed that one.
As Russ might say.
Yeah, right. It really did.
Mm-hmm.
I've made good money.
Yeah. So you've had that comfortable cushion. I think you're looking for more of a spiritual fulfillment, correct?
Yeah. I think a partner.
Mm-hmm. Well, a spiritual partner that can be one in the same.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Somebody to... curl up next to on cold nights.
Yeah, somebody to talk to.
Yeah, that's why you like her, isn't it?
Yeah, two-way street.
Yeah, she's full of energy, bouncy, mischievous, very smart.
Yeah, but she's too young.
Yeah, way too young.
Yeah,
and she's also probably could flip you over her shoulder without thinking about it. Yeah, she's one tough cookie. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't mind tough people. Ones are straight.
Oh, she's very straightforward and to the point.
I respect that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now back to Johnny.
I'm not going to stay too long.
Okay, well, we're only going to do a half a tape anyway, I think.
Yeah, okay.
In actual fact, we could probably put the next person on. Otherwise, I can sit and hog it all night. See you guys in a few.
Okay.
Thank you.
Greetings and felicitations, friends. Skip, Johnny, greetings.
Good evening.
And how is everybody functioning?
Functioning quite well, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you.
Within parameters.
Specified parameters?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, let us proceed by answering your questions that of many you have.
Oh,
want me to start?
Go ahead, John.
I was about to say we can use the proverbial coin if Russ was around.
Yeah.
Have him manifest one. It is quite simple.
Okay. Like I discussed with Tia,
mm-hmm.
which you obviously overheard and or monitored,
yes.
whatever you do. Okay. I'm curious about the internal dialogue mm-hmm. and shutting it down at the right time, and also being able to shut it down while I'm still in the working mode.
You don't want to do that when you're in the working mode.
Okay, thank you.
Somebody such as myself on the seventh dimension, we still have the internal dialogue. It is part of the thought process, as Tia stated. It is also a handy way of relaying information on higher levels in the telepathic mode. For example, I'm thinking to myself, I need to get one of my technicians to switch off a device. And as I think of the device, the technician wanders over, has already heard my thoughts because I am thinking on a random level. And he goes off and switches off the device. Or I think to myself, it is time that I had a bite to eat, but I'm too busy to leave my desk. Should I ask one of my technicians to get me some protein? The technician looks at me and asks me what I would like for lunch. So the internal dialogue not only serves as a way of analyzing and extrapolating information, but it also works as a communication tool. The puzzled look on somebody's face that they're thinking triggers you to ask them, what is the matter or what are you thinking about? The individual that looks unwell and has a furrow on their brow because they have a headache, you ask them, what is wrong? And they will explain. So it is not only used as an analyzing process and extrapolating information, it is also used as a communication tool. When you meditate, that is when you shut down the internal dialogue. This gives you the opportunity to free up your mind. Your mind is free. There is no process of analyzing information going on the conscious level. So therefore, you will see random sensory inputs, images. Now, by controlling those images, by not thinking about controlling, enjoying the slideshow, as it were, of random objects that flash before your vision, in your mind, you can have quite an interesting moment. By remembering those images and writing them down, you may be able to see some sense of what is going on a deeper level of your mind. Now, having learned to control those images, the next step is to control your body so that you can astral travel or review your past lives. But at this time, it is not advisable to view past lives, due to the fact that you first of all have to learn how to control the random pictures. And controlling them can be quite tricky. And it takes time and practice to control them. What you need to do is to focus as if you were looking at one object and follow it and bring it in close without thinking bringing it in close. That is where you may run into some problems with the internal dialogue. You see a picture and you wish for it to come in close, and you think to yourself, I have to bring it in close. Your internal dialogue has started up. So you relax and tell your internal dialogue to shut down so that you can then view the image. it takes time and practice to be able to just will the image in closer without thinking, come closer or I need a closer look. It takes time and practice. Sometimes your mind will pick up on the fact that you wish to view something closer and will do it without needing the internal dialogue. Bringing the picture in close can be a very useful tool. You have learned how to control the imaging process of your mind. Controlling that is the next step for astral travel and reviewing past lives. By thinking beforehand that you wish to view past lives, you will have selected randomly past lives, images of all sorts of interesting things, from engine designs and specs to flitting fish that you have never seen before that are no longer available in your supermarkets, or equipment that is ancient and obsolete that you have only seen in pictures and in museums. So by controlling your inner voice, the internal dialogue, you learn other useful tools. The ability to view your past lives and astral travel. By viewing your past lives, you can learn how to expand your abilities. For example, Skip is a manifestor, as you are, Johnny.
Yes.
And by viewing, manifesting past lives, you learn how to increase and focus your manifesting ability. Do we have any questions at this point?
You've covered a lot of ground. I thank you for your answer there. Okay. I'm going to turn my time over to Skip here.
Okay.
Is it possible to consciously review past life without being trained to do it?
By the method that I have just described, by shutting down the internal dialogue and letting the pictures come randomly. Mm-hmm. At first, this is random pictures. But later, by being able to control the random pictures, you can program yourself to review past lives. You may not have the full effect that you would have in a regression and being trained as a regression specialist. Those individuals are trained to regress other people. Russ will tell you the hardest person to regress is himself. Mm-hmm. By doing this, it is a useful tool to self-regression, but it takes time and patience.
Okay, thank you.
Next question. Okay.
Appreciate you coming.
No problem. Live long, prosper, and I'll be back.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Incy-wincy spied up and climbing up the spout. Down came the way and washed poor Incy out. Out came the sun and dried poor Incy out. Incy Wincy Spider is climbing back up the spout.
You're in a good mood.
Oh, I am, yes. There's just going to be myself, the cubs, and Mark.
Better be careful what you're in for.
There, young lady.
Fair fight.
So you're going to make Mark proud that he's happy?
No, I've got other things in mind.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Okay, let me be sensible and serious.
Okay. Let's talk about serious. How's Kiri has gone to Sirius. Mm-hmm. And Mama's passed on.
No, that's the Mother Superior. The head abbess of Kirin's grandmother's monastery.
Okay, no. Now, do they have someone lined up
to replace her? There's three possible people. And one of them happens to be Kirin's
mom.
Grandmother. Grandmother.
Grandma. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Kirin's mother is being reborn. She passed away a long time ago. Probably about, I should say, close to 30, 40 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about past lives and past life regressions.
I don't know that much. I've been regressed quite a few times, and Russ actually did one on me through Mark's body, but we won't go into that.
Okay, that's a personal thing.
Yeah, that
between,
was...
Between you guys.
And, yes.
And I won't, you know, go into that. But what about past lives?
Okay, past lives are very, very important. They are something that affects what is going on to you, to Skip, and myself at present. For example, let us say that you were a woman in a past life, right?
Yes,
and you had, and you have a friend, right, that abused you in whatever way.
Okay.
Right. What you have to learn is, let's say in this life you have an acquaintance that you've abused rottenly. That has, you know, you have done nasty things to, been mean to, been horrible to, but yet they keep on staying in your life. Now the question is, why is that person in your life? It is possible that that person was the person that abused you. Let us take an example. He's not here to help to defend himself, right? We use Russ as an example. Russ was once a priest in a, I think it was Mayan society, or it could be Aztec. And he did human sacrifices, which was the norm of the time. Nothing wrong with those. They were perfectly acceptable at the time. And there was a young lady that was an acquaintance, and he ended up, or she ended up, being the perfect sacrifice, being a willing sacrifice. And Russ had to wrestle with that, and when he became aware of it in this life, that he had been a priest, and that he had sacrificed numerous people, he had a hard time adjusting to it. Along comes a young lady into his life that had been the perfect sacrifice, the willing sacrifice. And he had to learn how to deal with that and have a relationship with her so that he could progress on to the next level. And the fact that she did some very nasty things towards the end of their relationship means that she hasn't learned, and there will be a karmic outcome later on. But by behaving in the way that she did, she taught Russ some very valuable lessons. And the thing is that instead of going off the handle and ripping into her and so on, and yeah, being mean and nasty to her, he said, okay, fair enough, off you go, you're free. He didn't try to woo her back, he didn't try to do anything like that, which is what she wanted, you see. So therefore, the karmic circle is now broken. He was not manipulated by her, and she was not manipulated by him. They had a clean break, and they seem to have maintained a good friendship.
So that broke the comic circle.
Mm-hmm.
So we are able to break the comic circle.
That is correct.
In our lifetime.
Yes. Okay.
What do you got a date? You're looking at your watch.
Well, I'm looking at Mark's watch because I can't see the chronometer up here because somebody's got their big head in the way. And thank you. Okay. We have 10 minutes approximately before the end of the session. I will put on the last speaker.
Okay.
If she will come over and sit down, just because her little sister's not around. And I don't know if she's going to stay very long.
Okay.
She has her little ones with her, which I don't like bringing to channeling sessions. It's naughty. Hello.
Hi, Kara. How's things?
It is functioning fine.
How's the kids?
The kids are well behaved. They are sitting patiently. I do not have a babysitter.
Circumstances alter situations, don't you?
Yes, unfortunately. But it is a learning lesson for Tia to learn patience with little ones racing around.
Okay. It's good for her, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Okay, welcome. Fortunately, my love is not here tonight, so we can debate for a while. A free conversation on the merits of healing and dealing with healing matters.
Okay, now with myself being a healer and a manifester, I want to still touch on the subject.
Okay,
about internal dialogue.
Ah, okay, I understand. Now we can proceed on an avenue of how does the internal dialogue help with being a healer? Now this will involve both of you. Okay, the necessary importance of the internal dialogue when healing is very important. You have to remember how to heal, how to pull the energy out. Is it the arm that hurts? If I press here, will this occur? If I touch there, will I be able to pull the energy out? So the internal dialogue when healing is very, very important. It is also thinking of, okay, this person is going to be better. By thinking this in the internal dialogue, you transmit it to the person that you're trying to heal because you have hands on and they are inside your shields. You are flowing their energy. And in return, you're giving them the feeling of positiveness, of being able to heal themselves. What you're actually doing is transmitting the thought to them. That why it is useful in the metaphors of healing to have a coercer, because instead of having a large number of minds all thinking positive thoughts, we have one person that opens up the individual that has been healed to the incoming thoughts of positive healing. The positive healing is the key to healing. Okay.
Can you expand on that more, please?
Oh, certainly. Certainly I can expand. It is very seldom that I am asked to expand on an open-ended answer.
Please.
Okay. The healing process that occurs when you are using the internal dialogue is you are healing. You are healing. I will make this person better. Your positive thoughts flow through your hands to the affected area. But as you're thinking those thoughts, because the person is inside your shield, they are being transmitted to that person who is receiving them. By that person receiving those thoughts, then they hear it on a subconscious level, and their body works in the healing process with them. You are using their own body to fight their enemy. You're supplying the energy which may be lacking because of fighting the infection, or the damage, or the headache, or whatever it is that is being healed. But the energy that you're pumping in is being directed by their mind, which is being directed by your thoughts. Basically, what you're doing is manipulating them to be receptive to healing. Now, if you have a coercive energy, as I stated just now, that coercive can speed up the process by opening up the person's mind for healing. You manipulate them so that they are very receptive to the incoming information that will help them with the healing process. The healing process is speeded up with the aid of the coercer. But the coercer on his own, or her own, cannot do the healing. But the healer on her own, or his own, can do both jobs. Not as effectively as a coercer, but it can be done by combining the coercer and the healer into a group mind, or a very small primitive metaconsult. You speed up the healing process because the healer is no longer doing two jobs. The healer is concentrating at the matter at hand. The coercer is totally free to concentrate on opening up the individual so that the individual can receive the information and the energy without putting up natural barriers. It's a little bit like having a scrub nurse and a surgeon. The surgeon is capable of doing surgery on his own, but it is very difficult. With the aid of the scrub nurse, using the clamps and sutures to open up the area, makes it easier for the surgeon to do her job. But the healer on her own, or his own, is quite capable of doing the job, but it is more work for the healer. With the coercer, which sometimes you may not have access to a coercer, it makes things easy. You see?
Yeah, it clarifies things. Let me ask you about the shielding. Mm-hmm. Now, one Skip or myself mm-hmm. is doing a healing on someone. Mm-hmm. Our self shielding surrounds the person that we're healing. Am I correct?
Correct. Basically, what you're doing, if you have a multi-layered shield, is that you're putting inside your shield so that it is easier for you to manipulate the healer. When somebody is sick, their shields are weak and easy to cut through. It is like using a scalpel to open up the flesh. You do the same when you open up somebody's shield to be healed.
How do I perfect self healing?
By the same way that you heal others. As is commonly quoted, a healer heal by self. You know your body well. You look at the areas that are damaged, and you concentrate on those energy areas as if you were healing somebody else. However, your energy has to be brought in from outside as a healer. So you suck in energy from outside be healed. Let us say you have a damaged wrist. Okay. Let's say Mark's body is the damaged body, that it is my body and I have bruised my ribs. I fire up my hands and I place them over the damaged area so that the energy is flowing into the damaged area. But because of the damage, my energy is painted with the paint. So I have to bring energy in from outside. I bring it into my crown chakra and I pull it down through to the affected area. My hands pull out the energy that flows up my arms. And this is where it gets tricky. It goes down and out through the root chakra, but it must not touch the incoming energy, because if it does, the energy that is incoming becomes tainted with the pain and suffering. So it has to come in through the crown chakra, down to the damaged area. Right? It comes back out and it goes, well, we could go up, down the side, and then join the chakras and all the way down through that way. But if you loop it over, it works just the same. But it must not touch. You must visualize that energy coming in and looping and not touching. If you happen to penetrate totally the healing loop, then you disconnect, you take your hands away, you wash them, you relax, then you try again. If it touches, you have to work harder to make sure it doesn't touch again, and it will take longer to heal the area.
Thank you.
No problem.
Let me ask you about third dimensional healers healing each other and working on each other.
Yes, that is commonly what happens up here. A healer, let us say my ribs again.
Okay.
I bruise my ribs. It is much easier for me to go to another healer to get that healer to heal me,
rather than trying to do it yourself.
Right.
Okay. So, on this dimension, and in our space and time, with Skip and I both being healers,
yes,
we could assist each other in the healing process?
That is correct.
I got the same thing. Can I intercede here a little bit?
Certainly.
I have the same thing with my daughter. But with my daughter and myself being of the same ascent, I have to change the color of my healing power. I can't use a white light on her.
That's correct.
I make her sick if I do
it. Yeah. Why?
I'll upset her.
But why? Why do you make her feel unwell?
Well, because our genders match, from what I can understand. Is this correct?
Yes. In a healing, a male healing a female, there is a lot of, especially if they're of the same bloodline, a lot of love. And that will cause an overload, you see. So you have to change the pattern a little bit.
So I change the color.
Yes, it is like trying to pack in a lot of milk into a container. It explodes. And it is the same thing. The explosion happens inside the person's stomach, and up comes all that they have ate.
But if I change the color, in other words, if I'm...
No.
Okay.
Let me interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Real quick here, Skip. Okay. I'm understanding that it's a green light, as opposed to a white light.
Excuse me again.
That's only in meta concert.
Yeah.
No, listen to me. Mm-hmm. In meta concert, as I understand it, as I've been educated by channel, okay, by this lady right here. Mm-hmm. We use, all of us use the same color.
Yes.
Which normally you wouldn't be concerned with color.
That is correct.
Okay. When I go to heels,